We have to finish up Paragimel. Yesterday we began with the last Upsukim. Okay, we're almost finished. Okay, we started the Malbum. Okay, I'll read the Psukim again on page 436. Okay, page 436, the pasuk says, Mi yodea yashuv v'nicham el ho'elokim v'shav v'chal na'afo v'lo neved. If a person is aware, we have many perushim what that means, a person is aware that they did an avera, a person knows how to do teshuvah, who knows? Maybe Hashem Yashuv will change his mind. V'nicham ulakim v'shav mecharoin apo v'loy neved, and we will not be destroyed. Hashem will cancel the gezerah ra. Pasuk yud vayar. We said yes. This one was famous pesukim in the entire Nach, because being that Sifrei Nevi'im is the goal of learning Sifrei Nevi'im is to learn Musar. The Ikur Musar is found in Sifrei Nevi'im. And everything in all of the stories, all of the different events, is only just the backdrop. It's just dressing to get to the meat, to get to the core of the Musar. This pasuk here is the words of Musar, the ultimate words of Musar. Vayar hu Elokim es ma'aseihem. Hashem saw their deeds. Musar wasn't just lip service. It wasn't just inspirational speeches. It wasn't just advertisements in the newspapers. But Hashem saw the people actually took action. Marketing, I used to work with marketing. Marketing, you have to have a call for action. Click here. If you don't have on your advertisement the words, if you don't have on your advertisements the words, click here, online advertising. I'm more into the online advertising. It's a different beast. Paper advertising and online advertising. You have to have. There's always a rule in marketing. You have to have on your advertisement a call for action. It's a trigger. Call this number. Contact us. Click here. Buy this product. You have to tell people what to do. Do not assume anything. If you have a beautiful picture, so what? Who cares? Who cares? This beautiful picture. It's not going to help you, the beautiful picture. You have to tell people, pick up the phone and buy it. Give me your money. Call for action. So here it says that all of the words of Musar weren't just nice poetry and nice advertisements, but people actually took action. Hashem reciprocated. He had charata. Asher diba la'asayis lechem v'lo yosan, he did not do any harm. Now we learned yesterday, I think we're in the middle of the Malbim. Okay, we were in the middle of the Malbim. So let's go to Pasuk Yud. Okay, let's start with Pasuk Yud. Vayar ha'lukim es ma'aseim, ritzer lo'y ma'ashe t'chila, sh'shavu an sh'nin ve'hoi rak charata. Okay, on page 437, I'm learning Pasuk Yud. Originally, שתחילו ששבו אנשי נינבי הוי רק חרוטה, אבל ישבו במעשה שיסקנו החטא העבר על ידי המעשה. Originally, it was just remorse. They clapped על חטא, but their remorse did not turn into action. אבל אחר פקודס המלך, after the decree of the king, רואו לוקים את כל מעשיהם, כי שבו ששבו במעשיהם שישיבו את הגזל, in reality. Malm is opening up for us an entirely new insight, which is different than we learned from the Beinu Bachya. And he understands the difference between the teshuva that was done by the people relative to the king, when the king went forward and he told people that they should do teshuva. We learned last week, what was the king doing? So I think it was Rabbeinu Bachya, he turned this into a dark story. He says that the king really wasn't interested in doing teshuvah. It's only he was leading from behind. It's since he saw that it's a popular grassroots movement to do teshuvah and wanted to maintain his authority. So if you can't beat him, join him. If this is what the people want, So I will help them get what they want. Not that the king himself really believed in the cause. That's pretty much what we learned last few days. That's this is a very.
If it works,
well, in Yah, I don't know about Goyim, but in Yah, there's always a principle that if you're not sincere, you don't really believe in something, ultimately, you're not going to succeed. I mean, in the short term, you'll definitely succeed, but if the ability for something to endure forever, in Yadus, depends on sincerity. You see people, they start yeshivas. Okay, you see people, they start institutions, tzedakah, chesed organizations. Okay, Bikur Cholim, or the Hachnasas Kala, you start a shul. Why is this shul in existence? Why who built the shul? For what purpose did someone make the shul? Because there was a need? Because there was a person that saw people on davening and he acted mamish, l'shem shamayim. Only Hashem knows. Hashem was yoreh l'sof daidai. A person saw people on davening. They need a shul. They need it in this community. Needs a beis hakneses. So he went and he gave enormous amounts of money and spent enormous amounts of time and effort to go and put together a shul to get a rabbi and to encourage people to come. Then you have many situations. There's a facts of life where a person doesn't get an aliyah. Okay, he's in shul, and they didn't give him an aliyah. And who they give the aliyah to? Someone, some ordinary guy. I have yahrzeit, I have this. I'm insulted. I'm so insulted. And this didn't happen once, it happened twice. You know what? I'm not going to say all the nasty nivul peh. Who cares about this shul? I'm going to go build my own shul. Okay? I don't like the rabbi. The rabbi is not my type. So you know what? I'm going to go make my own shul across the street. Okay, I need kavod. Person can't live without kavod for one moment. I need kavod. I have this insatiable desire to have honor. And it just happens to be Hashem has blessed me with enormous, fabulous wealth. So you know what? I'm going to give myself kavod. How do you give kavod? Well, there's a great tool out there called Torah. It's a wonderful tool. Everyone is machshav Torah. So I'll go and I'll make a makam Torah, and I'll be the one who pays the bills. Li hakavod v'li hazav. Right. So, and you know, some people are very successful. They're very, very successful. You see enormous celebration, enormous success, and the shuls are packed. But guess what? These type of shuls, the day comes, they go on very quickly. They disappear. And which shul remains? The shul that was built on the foundation of true Yira Shemayim. And who's the one who is the Mesabev Kol HaSibois? Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem knows why this shul was established, why this shul was established. Just because one shul is very successful doesn't mean anything. It's only the shul was founded on Machlekes. Only reason why it came is because this is Machlekes. So don't put don't invest your stocks in those type of shuls. Because even though right now it appears to be very successful, it's not likely it's going to endure for a significant period of time. I mean, and if it does, it's Hashem's. This is the emuna. This is Aram. This is the basic emuna. If you'll tell me otherwise, I don't know. But you'll tell me there are situations where you have places that are built on machlokes and they're very successful for very, very long. I don't know. You don't know how Hashem operates. But b'derech klal, we have an emuna that's something that is done with sincerity. With your Shemayim will succeed. Something that's done for kavod and for an outgrowth out of machlokes, nothing good comes from these types of things. So, the king over here, he's saying, according to what we learned last week, Reinu Bachel, people over here are doing teshuva. The king, the way he presents it, is not interested. I'm not impressed. I don't care. It's if the people are going to do teshuva, it may not be good for the economy. I'd rather have them work now they're taking off from work, they're spending time in shul saying slichas and they're fasting. It's not good. It's not productive. So therefore, I don't want this. I would rather the people go and they don't do tshuva and they continue going, doing the same they're doing until now. But I see that if I do not let them do what they want, then it'll be even worse. Then the whole country will shut down entirely. They'll throw me out of office. They'll go and they'll get... So the king's, okay, if you can't beat them, join them. So I'll go and I'll help them out. That puts the king in a very dark light. The king is very insincere. That's what we learn from Rabbeinu Bachya, says the Farish. The king is leading from behind and is teaching us this lesson. According to the Malam is not saying, the Malam is saying is just the opposite. The king was observed what's taking place. He saw they're doing the teshuva, and he saw that it's not going to work. The degree of teshuva the people are doing is limited. They're just clapping al chait. No, we did aveiros, chatasi, 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 but business as usual. Along comes the king. The king says, if we're going to do this right, we have to take action. And action means people have to go and disassemble their buildings, their homes, and remove the beams, and return all of the Geneva to the rightful owner. So the king, according to the Malbim, is noble. He's doing something very noble. He's taking this to the very next level. Mr. Cohen, is that a cup of coffee for me? Is that for me? Thank you very much. Don't get up. I don't deserve anything. I just don't want to go to waste. That's a lie, but I say just a lie. I'm thirsty, that's why. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bidvarayim.
Amen.
Mr. Cohen, a toast to you.
You were Mizaka.
Thank you very much.
You were Mizaka.
He was Mizaka, not me. He was Mizaka. Okay, that was his doing. That was his doing.
Toast comes with jelly.
You see, that was an example. See, that was a very good example. I told you, I don't want it to go to waste. That's a lie. I don't care about the water. I care myself. Okay, that's just another example. Another example of why you're doing something. Oh, l'shem shemayim, l'shem shemayim. Baloney, l'shem shemayim. It's all about covet. It's all about covet. Listen, it's not so bad. Mitoch sheloy l'shma, bo l'shma. So what's so terrible? What's so terrible? That's the way we live. There's no question about it.
We're also brought up to think in a certain way. You don't want to waste it. Yeah, you want to enjoy it, but you don't
want to
waste it. It's not...
There's no black and white. Exactly. There's no such thing as black and white. Everything is shades of gray. No such thing. Okay, let's go further. Let's go. So therefore, he's putting over here in a very, very negative. He's putting over here something very positive. Therefore, that's why he made them go and actually return all the objects. Vayinachem lechem. Therefore, vayinachem. I'm going to pass the yud on page 437 in the Malbum on the very bottom on the right side, halfway down. Lechein vayinochem holokim al harav hagam shloshavu rak al chet gezel lo yal avoy de zara b'chol zeis acha shegaz adinam nechtam al gezel v'zeh tignoy lo yosso es hara. Another point he makes is, what about idolatry? These were idolaters. How come we don't find anywhere they did teshuva from the zara? So that's a very critical lesson. We all know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is much more makbid on sins bin adam lachaveru than on sins bin adam lamokoim. Reitzayne loymar sheim haisa haram muchenes lavi aleim b'teva al pi apia maracha hay haisa ba aleim gam oz. If, now he's saying another very interesting idea. If it was really meant to be that mazel, if it was meant to be that the plates, I don't know what they're called. This is an earthquake. It's supposed to be some type of earthquake. And there's a biological clock in the earth that it's meant to be that Nineveh will be destroyed. There's an asteroid that's on target. Okay, nothing you can do. From the time of Maaseh Bereishis, there's an asteroid that's making its way towards earth, and it's going to land and destroy the city of Nineveh. So then the Malbim says, guess what? It doesn't matter. Then nothing would have changed. Incredible chidushim. He says over here things that are just off the charts. If the people would have been idolaters, and it would have been that from time of Maaseh Bereishis, there is an asteroid on its way to destroy this Hashem is not going to intervene. Hashem will allow the asteroid or the volcano to erupt or the earth to quake or the tsunami to come and drown the people. If this is what's meant to be for Maisa Bereishis and the people are deserving of destruction because they are idolaters, Hashem will not intervene. However, Aval, so he's telling us over here in inside. How does he know this? I have no clue. There must be some source for this. Nineveh was not a destruction that was meant to be naturally. He makes this claim. It was not an earthquake. It was not a volcano. It was not an asteroid. It was not a tsunami or any other natural disaster, a hurricane, whatever. I don't know if a hurricane is a natural disaster. I don't know how these things work. But it was not something which was meant to be. It was not plotted. So Hashem says, no, Hashem would not intervene. He would have given a chance to do tshuva. It's saying over a lot of these sayings that when, even if something is meant to be, there's an asteroid coming to this earth. If people know about it and they do tshuva for Avodah Zarah, he seems to indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his rachamim will intervene and do bring a miracle that they should not be destroyed. There are different types of punishments, that different types of churbanos that come upon this world. There are some that are preset into the DNA of the earth. From the time of Maaseh Bereishis, Hashem made the world in such a way where eventually California will arise. Will go. Okay, it's going to go somewhere. They'll say that it's predestined from the time of Bris Olam. There's going to be global warming, and the North Pole is going to melt, and the world's going to, and the sea level is going to rise by chveis, and New York City is going to be underwater. We're all going to have to migrate, move to higher ground. Maybe there are certain things that we don't know how the world works. We have no idea. We think we know everything. We know nothing. We know nothing about science. We know about science. We don't know enough. There are certain things that are just meant to be. This is the way Hashem made the world on day one. On day one, it was meant to be certain things will happen in the natural sequence of events of time and bring about changes upon this world. And that's the way it is. And if you're in the way, you're going to get destroyed. You're going to get wiped out. So now there's a person who is a wicked man, and wickedness can be either because he's wicked ben adam lachaveroi or ben adam lamakim. And let's over here discuss a situation where they're wicked ben adam lamakim. They're idolaters. They are deliberately, they know better, and they choose to ignore Hashem and worship idols. And it's meant to be, they're going to be destroyed. The Malbim says the Ribbono Shel Olam will not step in and change nature. He will let it happen because they deserve it. However, that's not the case here. Nineveh, the Churban of Nineveh was not programmed from Maaseh Bereishis. The Churban of Nineveh was a Churban that was created, that was invented by Hashem in response to their sins. It was a natural. It wasn't meant to be that this country should be destroyed. Hashem saw their wicked people, so Hashem went and did things. Adarabi went out of his way to make changes in this world, whether you'll say they're natural or unnatural, in order that they should be destroyed. But now that they do tshuva, it's only Hashem yied. Hashem designated certain events, certain things in this world, through a certain hashkocha pratis, u cheshavu al chet gezel. So now he says here that now that they did teshuva for gezel, that is enough. Being that the Churban is not programmed into Maaseh Bereishis, but it's something which was decreed upon them, then even if they did not do a complete teshuva, that's enough for Hashem to cancel the Gzeira. What do we mean here, they did not do a complete teshuva? They did teshuva ben Adam lachaveroi, but did not do teshuva ben Adam lamokoim. And that is sufficient. That is enough for Hashem to cancel the gzeirah shoshavu al chid gezel loy loy osa. V'inochim lisnaik al piateva v'amarochim nivak al shparuchu. He had charata and he allowed the world to go back to the way it was meant to be, and they would not be destroyed. Okay, so really ends in here all these very, very fascinating ideas. Let's take a quick look over here. Rabbeinu Bachya, Pasik.
This would be an example of the extraordinary Rachmanis of Hashem. Even when you don't do tshuva to him, but you do tshuva to Rabbeinu Machabero.
Correct, exactly. Hashem, right. Hashem created a world. He wants us to live in peace with one another, even if we choose to ignore him. It's part of Hashem's humility. Hashem is teaching, we all know, we all are like parents. Parents, I'm sure every parent, they're very concerned that their children should all be peaceful amongst each other. And they're not so concerned if the children, how much they reciprocate, how good they are to the parents. If they had a choice, should their children fight amongst themselves but be loyal to them, or the children be good to each other and ignore themselves? I assume every parent in a heartbeat would say, I would much prefer my children be peaceful amongst themselves and they can forget about me. They can ignore me. Because that's the nature of a parent. The nature of a parent is to give. And you want your children to have, everything should be good for your children. And that means they should be happy with themselves. Even if it means at the expense of their own honor. So certainly, you see, Hashem is no different. Hashem created a world. Everything comes from Him. But the most important thing is that He wants His creatures, He wants His creation to have peace. There should be harmony amongst themselves, even if it means that they're not going to have respect for Hashem. So you find all the time in the Chanan that Hashem is willing to overlook as long as there is peace in Adam Lachaver. Let's look at the Rabbeinu Bachya. Good morning. Who knows if they'll do tshuva or not? Now, Rabbeinu Bachya disagrees with what we learned yesterday in the Radak. The Radak said that there's no doubt, the fact that Hashem has sent a Navi, the fact that Hashem has sent Yonah to give us Musar, means with certainty that if we will do Teshuvah, Hashem will cancel the Gezerah. Otherwise, Hashem would not have gone through the effort to send the prophet. Rabbeinu Bachya disagrees, and he says they were not so certain. And he learns the word miyodea, like one of the perishim of the Radak, miyodea means who knows. Miyodea. Maybe yeah, maybe no. There's no one that can tell us if we will succeed in our plan. But at least, let's give it a shot. There's no harm in doing. We're going to do teshuva. Maybe Hashem will accept our teshuva and cancel the gzeirah. Maybe He will not accept the teshuva and He will not cancel the gzeirah. But at least, let us try. Okay, so they were not confident that the Gezerah would be cancelled b'shuvasam. V'yafal pichin lehister bal harachim ponam mehem. Hashem did not, Hashem was, Hashem had rachmanis. V'lo yishualu lehem slicha v'chaparik kedei liknes lehem chayi ha'olam haba. And they did not, v'lo yishualu lehem slicha v'chaparik kedei liknes lehem chayi ha'olam haba. Aval amru v'lo yinoyved Okay, a new idea is the people that when they did teshuva, they were not coming to do teshuva to save themselves in the next world. That it appears they weren't willing to invest. When you have a risky investment, is it kedai to invest your time and effort? Depends, right? All depends. So it seems here that in the way the Rabbeinu Bachya learns, very, very interestingly, saying all these things, is that they were not willing to spend the time and the effort to invest in doing teshuvah for the next world. Because who says? It's a 50-50. 50-50 if we will merit Olam Haba with our teshuvah. So you know what? It's not worth it. It's not worth the time and effort. But for this world, the Olam Hazeh, to have a good steak, another good steak, another good dinner, another delicious cup of coffee, that it's worth it to invest our time and resources. Maybe, ulai, mi yodea, Hashem will forgive us. Isn't that amazing? You think it's the opposite. For this world, which is only temporary, just a matter of time until it's all over, okay, just stall the clock, just a matter of time, so that it's not worth it. But olam haba is nitzri, whatever that means.
But you don't see it.
You don't see, exactly, that's exactly the point. You don't see it. So we, Baruch Hashem, have been trained to have emunah, or at least we know about a principle called emunah, but the Ummah of Olam don't have it. They don't have this gift. They don't have this gift of appreciating what Olam Haba is, and therefore the Mal, the Rabbeinu Bachya, is saying something very frightening. Is it just wasn't worth it? It wasn't worth it for them to invest their time and effort and resources to do teshuvah, so that maybe they will merit Olam Haba. Their only investment was V'loi Noiveid. He learns Noiveid, referring to Olam Hazeh. She'los Nehois Al Ovdan Ha'olam Hazeh Levadai. Their effort was only to invest, and maybe we'll be able to live and enjoy this world a little bit longer. What?
But they admit to an existence.
Well, maybe.
They're
well, that's what
that it's, they're saying that it's not worth it, but they say simultaneously they say there is an oil on top of it.
Okay, maybe what does that mean exactly?
Maybe it's not worth it because they're not sure it's there.
They're not sure it's there. Exactly. I don't know. I really don't know. There's a whole. There's a big topic of discussion. Exactly, what do the goyim have a chelik in Olam Haba? What does it mean exactly? What does it mean that the tzaddik, the chassidei umma yisraelam, do they have a chelak in olam haba? Is there a chelak in olam haba the same as a Jew? What does it mean exactly? No one knows. No one came back to tell us what this means. But the assumption is the answer is definitely yes, but it's not the same. A Jew starts out in a much higher place no matter what. The fact that we are descendants of Klal Yisrael and we are in Har Sinai and we said Naseh v'Nishma and we are Mekabel b'Torah automatically puts us in an entirely different world, entirely different section. And even though it's true that we have a moon, they also have a Chelik Olam Haba, but it's completely different. It's we have no idea what this means. Let's take a look at the Mamari Chazal. Okay, as we said, this is the most important pasuk in Nach, Hashem so es ma'aseyem. So what does Chazal say about this in pasuk Yud on the bottom, page 436 in the very bottom? Vayar lukim es ma'aseyem, kishov vidakim hara, seder ha'tvila, shem espaldim b'shnas batzores, b'sheva ha'taniyois, ho'achroinois, ketzad. There's a series of fast days. When it does not rain, the Mishnais, the Sechatanis tell us that when it does not rain, then the Anshei can, then the Bezdin, they enact a series of fast days. The last series of fast days are 7 fast days. And during those, and there's a technique, there's a whole technique of what exactly they do. And when near the mission says, what should be done? Ketzad hazokein shebohen, oimer lifnehen, divrei kibushin. The elder of the Zekanim, he gets up and he stands before the Tzibur and he says the following, Achenu, our brethren, Lo ne'emar bi'anshei nivrei vayar ho Elokim es sakom. Hashem saw their sackcloth, v'yes ta'anisam, and their fasting. Even though it says they did all of these things, Elo, what does it say? It says vayar ho Elokim es ma'aseihem. Hashem saw their deeds. They took action. Kishavu midarkam hara'ah. And that is the message of this entire sefer. That is the message of all Musar, that it should not just be lip service. Bifiyem uvavam kibduni, but v'libam rochaku mimeni. But in their hearts, they're far away from me. It's all lip service. It's all dressing. It's all for show. But in reality, people do not practice what they preach. Noe doresh, noe mikayin. You can talk about how beautiful it is to get married. Someone told me they like to share about marriage. Noe doresh, v'noe mikayin. Hanev and Yovin, nothing more to be said. Okay? Vayar lekimes ma'aseyem. Ma'aseyem is you have to actually believe in what you say. Uvikabala, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Okay, the ultimate example they say about that. I remember my Rebbe Chaim Siegel is, you want to go teach your children how to give tzedakah. Everyone makes this mistake. So you bring your 3-year-old to shul, and what do? You give him a quarter, and you tell him, you pick him up, and you take him to the pushka, and you tell him to put the quarter in the pushka. That is the worst way to do chinuch. Why? Because what is the child going to learn from that attitude? When he will get older, he'll do the same thing. He will pick up his child and give his child a quarter, and he'll tell his child to put the quarter in the pushka. The proper way to do chinuch is pick up your child, take him to the pushka, and have him watch that you open up your wallet and you put in the pushka the quarter or the dollar. So the child will learn that what you're supposed to do, the adult is supposed to give, that my tati, he takes money out of his pocket and he puts the money in the pushka. And the child doesn't give any penny, nothing. He doesn't have any money, the kid. The father has the money. So he watches how his father takes his hard-earned money, tells his child, my child, do you know I woke up this morning 6 o'clock to be at davening at 6:30 and to catch the train and to be at work at 8:30 so I can earn a parnasa, and I slaved away until 9 o'clock at night. I come home, so I have a few dollars, and I take this money that I've sweated away to earn and I give it to Tztaka. I'm not giving you the money that you should give. I'm giving the money to Tztaka. And the child should watch this. So then when the child gets old, the child learns that's what you're supposed to do. But if the child's going to be picked up by the tati and then the father gives him a quarter and the child and the father, you give the quarter to Tztaka, so that's what the child's going to do when he gets older. When he'll get older, he'll pick up his child and give the child the quarter. That's not the way. The Ikka way to do it is by action. Not to tell the kid, you give the money. It's the Ikka is ma'aseyem. Ikra chinuch is that children observe your behavior, the way what you do, not what you say. Do like I say, not like I do, right? That's what that should be done. Yeah?
They say that you should never let your children watch you do your taxes.
No, when I was in high school, our teacher told us, literally, I guess he was telling us some accounting. He told us, he said, yeah, I had a friend. He would, every year tax season would begin, he would say to his wife, honey, how much money do you want to get back this year? How much money? Oh, I could use $3,000 would be nice. Okay, $3,000 he puts back on the bottom, and then he works backwards. So he told us, where is he now, this fellow? In jail.
He's singing.
That's all you have to know. Class is over. That's all you have to know about accounting. Okay? Questions. Where do you start? You start on the top or you start on the bottom? You start on the bottom and you work your way up, you go to jail. You start on the top, you work your way down, then you go on all the government programs. Especially if you're from. Okay. So here we have over here this Chazal, and that's what is done by a Tainis, that with the Kabbalah 3 lines down, and the Kabbalah 3 lines down, and page 3, 436, the Kabbalah Oimer, Vikiru, another positive, Vikiru Levavchem Vial Bigdechem, better go and rip your hearts, tear your hearts open, and don't waste your clothing, don't go and put on sackcloth and rice kriya. That's all dressing, it's all for show. The Ikar is what's in your heart. These are dvarim pshutim ad ma'oibur. Unfortunately, we always need to be reminded. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, arba dvarim mekorin gzardin shalom. There are 4 things which can be mevatel gzardin. The elohim, it's tzedakah. One is to give tzedakah. Number 2 is tzedakah. to cry out to Hashem to pray. Number three, Shinui Hashem, change your name. Number Shinui Maise. Which one is the most powerful? It goes without saying, Shinui Maise. That's the most powerful. Shinui Maise, what's the makar for each one? So the Gemara brings the makar for each one of these things. And the makar for the Shinui Maise is this pasuk right here. This is a critical pasuk, and that is, Dachsiv Ayar Elokim Es Maaseihem. It says, De Hashem saw their deeds. Dachsiv Ayinachim Elokim Al Rosh. Adiv Allah says, Lachem V'lo Yosa. Okay, these are the four things. Shinui Hashem, I think today became a Meshagas. A lot of people today, so Mamash Meshagas, people today, they have the smallest problem. They're 20, 21 years old, and they can't find the Shidduch. Not a joke. There are people that can't, they're 21 years old, right? 21 years old. The world didn't come to an end yet when you're 21 years old, right? Okay, baby, you said it. The world's coming to an end. So the only solution is Shinui Hashem. They changed their name. They figured we are a skula of a new name. So now I have a new mazel, and the shidduch scene will change. It's done. You'd be shocked to know how far this has gone. The Shinui Hashem has gone to an extreme. It's very, very unhealthy. It's a very unhealthy approach, Shinui Hashem. And then what it does not say over here is Shinui Mokoyim. Okay, it does not say that. I know personally of a fellow who had one. He had a very hard time having children, and Hashem blessed him. He had a child, and then many years passed, and he was getting on in his years, him and his wife, and he really wanted another child. He wanted to have another child. He had one child. It bothered him. He wanted another child. So he went. He went through all the things that you do. You know, daven, learn, stakav, went different rabbanim. And one Rav said to him, you should move to a new community. Meshane Mokoyim, Meshane Mazel. And he listened. I was very surprised. He wouldn't have moved. He decided, the Rav told him, you tried everything. It could.
Meshane Mazel doesn't mean that it's better, just it's different. It's different. That's going to be better.
100%. So I guess it meant so much to him. He really, really wanted another child, so he listened. Now, did he have another child? I don't know. I don't know what the end was. But I remember hearing this. I remember hearing this many years ago. It really struck me how far people go. Meshana Mokoyim, Meshana Mazel. Chazal say this. You're in a certain community. There's a certain hashpa. We don't know. I'm not into this type of these Kabbalah things. But some people really take to it. They really. But I see that is something which I can identify with. I get it. That is something I really see. If someone changes their name to me, I'm not coming to especially the Gemara. You change your name. I mean, I don't really know what that means exactly. Doesn't sound like to me. It just means you had a name change. Okay, you go to the Rav, and now they give you an Aliyah. Don't call me Reuven. Call me Shimon. I mean, to me, that's a little bit. Good morning. Good morning. How are you? How are you feeling?
Good morning.
We're all very concerned about it. Good to see you. Okay, so getting a name change, it's obvious to me that's not what it means in the Chazal. When it says a Shinui Hashem, it means a lot more than just having a new name.
Change your reputation.
It means a lot more. What does it mean? I leave that to your imagination. But Shinui Mokoyim, I get. Because when you go to a new community, it takes a lot of time to break in. Okay, a person, no matter what a nothing he may think he is in a community, you're part of a community, whether you like it or not. You dive into certain shuls, you have neighbors, you're used to a certain pattern of behavior in your community. When you go, if you live in Brooklyn and you go to Queens, it's different. It's different. The whole lifestyle, even in just going to Borough Park, it's a different life. We all know it to be true. And it definitely has an effect on you. It's a humbling experience to go to a new community, to break in to a new community. It changes you. It definitely changes you. So then, in a chanami, I've been affected. My outlook, my perspective on life changes. Maybe with that, I have a different, my nesham, I have a different sensitivities, and in that merit, Hashem will grant my request. So that I get, but that's called shinui mokoyim. That's what it says, but it doesn't say that. For whatever reason, does not sit in this Chazal. It's a Shinui Hashem, but Shinui Maisa is what we learned over here. Yeah.
Rabbi Adam mentioned recently that we're going to
makes me start think. He said to this Jewish guy from Israel, he became a religious, but when it became about tshuva, the rabbi told him to change his name, and when he called up his father, he told his father what the name was, the father said, that was the name they originally gave you.
Wow, Hashkura Hashkacha Pratis. That's Hashkacha Pratis. Wow, it's amazing. Okay. Now, now there's one thing I want to do over here. Very interesting. A Russian Tevois. I saw in the... Where did I see this? I saw this. Was it in the... something very interesting. I'm trying to remember. I saw this. Was in the Gra. Yeah, it's in the Gra. Okay, even though we don't learn the Gra, but this Gra I want to learn. You're gonna have to help me figure this out. Let me figure it out. Pasuk Yud, Vayar Elokim es Maaseihem, she'asu kol hatikunim. They did all of the tikunim, which includes sack for Afer, Roshei Tevois Teshuva. Isn't this? Now let's figure this out. If we go back in the previous pasuk, it says, what were they commanded to do? They were commanded to do. What's the test? The test is, we have to go through each word. Teshuvah. What is the test? Okay, Vayazek Vayeba Beninve Mitam Melch Mugdol Vayma Adam Vayma Vagat Vayton Al Yit Amu Uma. Okay, Al Yiv Yashu Vayiskasu Sakim. Hadam Vayma Vayko. So I think over here the test refers to, the tough vayisna vayiskasu, but the tough is that's only a prefix. So what's the test? Yeah, miyodea v'shavich alav v'lo neved v'elokim es masen v'shavu midark malav v'elokim malav rasha dibur. I don't know. So what is the test? Any idea? I couldn't figure this out. What? It's sack with the sin. Of sack. Okay, good. I don't know that. They're good. So far, one down. I like that. Good. So the first going to be the tof is going to be. Wait. What did you say the tof again was? This teshuv. We need to find the rosh tevis for tof shin vav beis hey. The shin certainly is sin, and the sin and the shin is sack. And what's the beis? The vav. I don't know. The behemoths do not eat, and what's the hay?
The hay of the behemoth or the
Okay, I don't know. It's a little bit of a stretch. I don't know. We'll leave it. Somehow it says over the word the rosh tevos of teshuva is the word teshuva lies all of the things. All right, whatever it is. Let's go on to Perek Dalet, next Perek. Perek Dalet, Vayera Elyona Ra'a Gidoyla. A double expression of evil. Ra. Okay, Ra'a Gidoyla. Two different expressions of evil. It was very evil in the eyes of Yonah. Vayichar lo, and Yonah got angry. Why was he angry? I'll have to see in a few moments. Let's go a little bit ahead. Vayispalel Hashem Vayoymar. He prayed to Hashem and he said, Ono Hashem. Please, Hashem, Haloi Zedivari. These are my words. Ad heyosi al admosi. While I'm still on this earth, al kain kidamti livroyach tarshisha. I was right. He said to Hashem, I've been vindicated. Look at this. They did teshuva. Look at this. Was it not my words while I existed upon the earth that this would happen? That when I would give them musa, they would do teshuva. I was right. Therefore, al kain kidamti from the very get-go, in the very beginning, levroyach, I fled to Tarshisha, ki odati, ki I was aware, ki ata you are kel chanun verachum, erech apayim verav chesed, you have an abundance of chesed, v'nicham al hara'ah. And, so what's so terrible? Adarabah. Because I guess, because now you have to understand the whole picture, because you have to go back to God, because the two basic yisoides that we learned in the beginning of the Sefer, and they are, that it's now going to be a kitroik on the Jewish people. Klal Yisrael have been warned, by 48 prophets to do teshuvah, and they did not listen. Here, and the prophets have warned them day in, day out, continuously, nonstop, and they did not listen. Here, Nineveh, just saying boo was enough for them to do teshuvah. What's the reaction in Shemayim? Look at this. Look how evil the Jewish people are. If the Umay Sa'ilim are willing to do teshuvah so easily, so how come the Jewish people can't do teshuvah after all of the effort and time and resources that Hashem has spent on them? The Jewish people are no longer deserving of Hashem's rachamim. That was the first approach. The second approach is, this is taking place right in the middle of the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. Which is the nation that is leading in this exile? Ashur, whose capital is Nineveh. Nineveh is slated for destruction. Couple of 40 days, they will no longer exist. If they will no longer exist, then the Golus will come to an end. The Jewish people will remain in Eretz Yisrael. Look at this. They did teshuva. Hashem has charata. He's canceled the gzera. Nineveh will not be destroyed. And they will continue to carry out their plan. And Klal Yisrael will go into Golus. Yonah is a very big mile about Yonah. And that is, he's loyal to Klal Yisrael. Okay? Loyalty. He's loyal. Now, Lahavdil Elif Alfei Havdolois, a billion times over. Trump, not all that long ago, he spoke and he said, I'm the President of the United States of America. My first priority, my first role is to seek the benefit of my country. I'm not like Obama, that wants to give away everything, give away the country, can have all of our wealth, our assets. That's not what you're supposed to do. My first priority is to take care of this country, do everything in my power to make sure that we're not being ripped off and we're not being cheated and we're protected. And he went on to say, and every single member, every single head of state, that's what you should be doing. That's what we're all here for. Everyone is here for their own self-interest. It's not my self-interest. That's my obligation. Okay, Netanyahu, one of his biggest smilers, always says the same thing. That's one of the only prime ministers. You go study all the various prime ministers. He says, my first priority is the defense, is the security of the state of Israel. Whether you like it or not, I don't care how you feel. I don't care if I ruffle your feathers. Too bad for you. This is what I'm here for. I am the prime minister, and it's our country. This is what I'm here for. Okay, lahavdil elef alfei havdolos, a billion times over, Yonah is a Navi. Okay, Yonah is a Navi. He's a Kaddosh. He's saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm loyal to Klal Yisrael. My loyalty, I don't care. Hashem Yav Rachmanis, all of these things, and what is all the Rachmanis going to do? It's going to bring harm to the chosen nation, to Klal Yisrael. I am part of Klal Yisrael. My loyalty is to Klal Yisrael, even if it means I'm going to ruffle your feathers, Hashem. Even if it means you're going to be insulted. Hashem Yav Rachum V'chaner Chapayim Yidu Chesed V'nicham Al Hara'ah. But not now. Not now. Not when it's going to result in the harm and the pain and suffering of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, if Nineveh continues to exist, these are wicked people, they're a shoyim, they deserve to be destroyed just because they do teshuvah. I don't care if they do teshuvah, they let them get what they deserve. Especially because if they continue to exist, if you do accept their teshuvah and you cancel the gzera, they will remain in existence and they will bring enormous churban to my people. Yonah, you take out of Yonah, maybe even the most important lesson that you can take out of Yonah is what it means to be loyal to your own. And that's a very big concern in the modern world. Liberalism is all about giving away everything. Socialism, communism, you're not loyal. You're not loyal to your own. You don't care about yourself. That's not what a person is. A person's priority is to take care of yourself first. And you have to be generous. And especially, maybe for yourself, you can argue there are many different noble things a person can do. But when you represent a family, you represent a community, you're a rav, a community, a head of state, a nation, it's not about you. Your mission is to be loyal to your own. And there's maybe not any, there's probably maybe, I don't even know anyone in the whole Tanakh that expressed the loyalty to Klal Yisrael like Yonah. The other extreme, unfortunately, look at Eliyahu HaNavi. He basically said to Hashem, forget about these people. These people, they're sinners. As a kanoi, his kanois went to say Hashem, they don't even do bris milah. I mean, these people, they're horrible. They're horrible, they do terrible. Hashem, how dare you? Where's your loyalty? Where's your loyalty? And he was punished severely. Every bris. I saw him today. I went to Yeshiva to Dav Yeshiva. There he was. Baruch Haba. Eliyahu HaNavi came. He was punished. It's no fun coming every day to a bris milah, traveling the world every single bris milah. He has to be there to testify, Hashem, you're right. Chotasi, Klal Yisrael, they do perform bris milah. I spoke too much. I went too far in my complaint. Who else do we find spoke? Who else? Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. He hit
the
rock.
But he was very loyal.
He was loyal. But mitzad sheni, Moshe Rabbeinu, he called Klal Yisrael. He got angry. He called him mamrim. He called him very harsh words, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a complaint that you spoke a bit, on your level, you were a bit too harsh. Okay, so you have to go to each one of the Ishiyat Tanakh. You want to go put them on a scale. Who are we to judge? Chas v'shalom. But if you want to go take every single one, you go to take out the book, the Ishiyat Tanakh, and go through each member of the Ishiyat Tanakh, and you have like a homework assignment. You go give to a child in high school. You say to them, take out the Ishiyat Tanakh, select any 15 people. They don't know every single person in that book because there are a lot of people in Tanakh. You pick any 15 people that you can find in the book Ishiyat Tanakh, and I want you to give them a number from 1 to 10, their degree of loyalty to Klal Yisrael, and explain in a sentence or two or in a paragraph or two why you gave them the number from 1 to 10. You'll come to Eliyahu HaNavi, Al Derech Pshat, you'll say it was towards the lower numbers. Proof is in the pudding. Okay? He has to come to every single bris milah. You'll come to Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll put him probably close to the higher numbers. Mocheni na misifra chasher kosafta. But mitzat sheni, he called them mamrim hayisim Hashem yomidati eschem vayikzoif Moshe alo'am, hit the rock, Moshe, and Hashem said to him, you know, Moshe, you've gone a little bit too far. You've called my people by names, by words that are not in my vocabulary. So, there was a complaint. But Yonah, look at this. Yonah here says, Hashem, Yekel, Rachum, V'chaner, Chapaim, and you can take all of it, and you can have it. I'm not interested. All of your good midos, I'm not interested. You know why? Because I'm loyal. I'm loyal to Klal Yisrael. And if you're going to have rachmanis on these people, you know what that means? It means there's going to be a golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. And what's going to happen to the Aseres HaShvatim? They're gone. They're gone. We don't know where they are. Disappeared off the face of the earth. And this is what he says. You see, I was right. I've always been saying this from time immemorial. Al ken kidamti, I'm vindicated. I ran away. Livroyach tarshisha ki yodati ki ato Hashem yav rachmanis. But you can take all your rachmanis and keep it for yourself. Because it's not to the benefit of the people who I represent. Ki ato kel chanun, ki ato kel chan v'racham v'rachamayim v'adches v'nicham al hara'ah. So Rabbi Yisai, isn't this a very powerful message that you say, mamish, 2 minutes before the end of Yom Kippur? Right before you begin the ilah, and the ilah takes an hour and you cannot do an ilah in less than an hour and 10 minutes. Right? Shots here? No? How long? Hour and?
Between an hour and 5 minutes.
That's how long your needle takes?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Are we, really? So short?
That's quick. That's quick.
It's a very quick needle.
I don't know.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You did it 55? That's a very swift needle. Okay, I dive in Yeshiva Chaim Berlin. How long they do Ne'ilah? I would imagine it's about an hour and a half. Hour and at least an hour and a half. Hour and a half. But in Young Israel, when we plan, I would do the calendar. It was pretty much hour and 10 minutes. Between hour and 10 minutes. Maybe an hour and 15 minutes. A little bit too much. Maybe depends. That's like standard. It's a standard. What? It's like 20 minutes. Whatever it is, the average shul in Flatbush takes an hour and 10 minutes. I tell you, planning of the calendar, an hour and 10 minutes for an Ne'ilah. So you hear an hour and 10 minutes before the end of Yom Kippurim, what do you read? You read about this pasuk of loyalty. What it means to be loyal. And that's what Hashem wants. He wants loyalty. Today we saw from loyalty. You know, even like we train from the crib not to be loyal. What do I mean by that? Today, every bachar in Shidduchim, they have to have a nayazach, a resume. I don't even know what that word means.
it's resume what you used to
wear. I was sitting yesterday, this person, he wrote this very nice poem. He wrote this really beautiful thing. So there's someone who was sitting there talking to this guy, and he said to him, "You're prolific." So he says, "What does prolific mean?" He's joking, of course. This guy was crazy. What does that word mean? I don't know. So what is that resume? Where did the boy learn? Well, he started out learning in this cheder, and then he went. And then he went to this elementary, and then to this high school, and then he went for the first year base medrash here, the second year here, the third year here, and then he went to Eretz Yisrael. He learned in three places, and then he came back to BMG, but now he's learning in this other place. Wow, whew, you've conquered the world. It used to be, not that long ago, what did the boy learn? The boy learned in Tar Vadas. He learned in Tar Vadas from kindergarten all the way through. Where did he learn? He learned in Mir and Flatbush. He learned all the way through. He learned in Tar Semes, Kamenitz. He learned in Chaim Berlin. All of a sudden, today we live in a world where Achad Gadya, you're all over the place. So when you go from place to place, you get loyal. How could you be loyal? How could you be loyal to one institution? When they call you up years later, "Could you help us out? We can't pay the Rebbeim. Maybe you can give a donation." I once learned in this. It says you're our alumni. You learned here. I did? I don't remember.
They make up stories anyway.
What?
We remember the things you used to give in class. I never taught.
Okay, so if you don't, if you're not part of something, okay, shoo, where do you daven? Well, Friday night, daven here. Shacharis, Monday, Thursday, here. Sunday, now there's a new thing, there's a special shul for Sunday. It's a nizach. Maybe the week that you daven here, but Sunday, I know, there's no work, so Sunday I daven here. Monday to Thursday, Friday might be also different. Friday work at home Friday. So Friday you can go to a different shul also. Not the same as a Sunday shul, but different shul. So you're not loyal. It's not possible to develop loyalty if you're a passing ships in the evening, right? It's not shaykh to develop loyalty.
Yeah, I think your point is that, of course, you have to know how it depends. Loyalty is so important. Even when you feel the person is wrong.
Right.
I think that's really your point. It depends how wrong he is. You know, it depends what the person is, of course. But, you know, or let's say like with family. Like, you know, you would support a member of your family even if they're not so right or, you know.
To a degree. To a degree. Listen, it's my family. Listen, am I going to go tell you that he didn't commit a crime? I'm not going to lie. But I have to be there for him.
Yes,
you have, to be there for it.
Loyalty.
I have to be there for it.
The famous story about the mother, her son was the one who killed, what's his name, Perez?
Amir?
Rabin.
She said he did a terrible thing, but I am his mother.
Exactly. So she's a good mother. That's an amazing thing.
Right.
She admitted
yes.
that he's a criminal, he's a rotzeach.
Yes.
But she said, I'm still his mother.
Yeah.
So to me, I mean, people will argue and they'll say, I disown him.
No, I think...
So I mean, there's got to be a balance, obviously. You have to admit he's a rotzeach.
Yeah.
And he has to suffer for what he has done, but I'm his mother.
Right.
To me, I mean, I hear people can, you know, it's not easy when you're the victim. I don't know what Rabin's family would say about that. Think about the children of Rabin. How do they look at it?
Everybody's right.
But I'm not the child of Rabin, right? So how do I look at a person, a mother that says, who she has to say, my child is a reitzeach. He's a reitzeach. And whatever has to be done to reitzeach has to be done, but I'm still his mother. I have to be there for him. Okay, it's a very powerful thing. Like people you know that. I have a friend. You know, he was in prison. No one's denying the fact that he committed the crime, but we have to go visit him. Okay, we had a friend, and there was a fellow in the yeshiva. I mean, this guy. You know, Ezehu ben Olam Haba, Al Mi Nemar. On this person and this other fellow, he arranged a friend that was in prison. He was in prison for about a year and a half. Every single visiting day, Billy Yoitse Minaklal, which is I think maybe at least twice a week, he made sure he had a whole group, a WhatsApp group, a whole list. Someone must go visit him. You cannot let him sit there and rot away. Every single visiting day for a year and a half, there was someone from the yeshiva that went to visit him. Was he guilty? He was guilty as sin. No one's coming to say it's a Rabashkin case. Okay? We're not talking over here, you know, these type of things. He's guilty. Okay? Hands down, he's guilty. Okay, he's guilty. So there's something called teshuva. We can't let the guy sit and rot. And it's amazing. He got through it. He mamish got through it. You don't know from what's going on inside of him, how he feels about it, but from the outside, you know, Baruch Hashem, he seems to be he got back into things, he did teshuva, he's in the process of doing teshuva, and everything is okay. So it's he's saying something very deep, but over here, this is a very beautiful idea of loyalty, which unfortunately today, we don't always find it to be expressed to the degree that we sometimes feel it should. And at least that we should take out of Yonah. Let's stop over here. We'll take a very short